You're listening to Living Lab Radio. I'm Heather Goldstone.
We often hear about websites or apps using our personal data to target ads or tweak the news we see. But sometimes researchers use similar kinds of data to gain insights into our world and how we interact with each other and the environment around us. My next guest is one of those researchers. She's been using cell phone and credit card data to probe how different groups of people move around a city and what that tells us about issues of gender and income inequality. Marta Gonzalez is Associate Professor of City and Regional Planning at the University of California, Berkeley, and a physics research faculty member in the energy technology area at Lawrence Berkeley National Laboratory. She joins us now via Skype. Marta, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Let's start with the obvious thing here. You're using credit card purchase data and cell phone data. How do you get your hands on that without serious privacy violations?
Right. Actually, the data we have been using do not leave the company. So we go to a whole set of training that we are treating this like human subject data as medical samples, to tell you the analogy.
To go with that medical data analogy, you're not only using the credit card and cell phone data, but you actually have that linked to personal information about age and gender and even the zip code of the places where these people live, right?
Zip code, that is a very important aspect, because within a zip code, we have thousands of people. So we cannot pinpoint the door, the address, that is some privacy in that regard. However, yes, this data is serious. And similar as you do not want your medical records to be shared and to be linked to you, because that is very private. So these data are treated with the same procedures.
And for the same reason that you wouldn't want it shared or used for nefarious purposes, this data is powerful. When you combine the credit card data on the types of purchases that people are making, plus their cell phone location data, how they're moving around the city, you're able to tell a lot about a person. And you actually grouped the people in your study into six different clusters. And one of the first ones is, you call it household, but it's kind of housewives, right? Mostly older
yes.
Women. What are their patterns that make them distinct?
Basically, they are mostly female. They earn a little bit less than the average. And they are older. And they move a little bit less. So basically, all this connected with what they buy is some piece of useful information, because we have a whole group of people in that category.
And what are they mostly buying?
Yes, they are mostly going, surprise, surprise, they're mostly going the grocery store.
I hate to say it, but that one fits a lot of stereotypes.
I know. That's why we didn't call it the housewives, because it was too much.
Okay, how about the commuters?
Yes, the commuters, they move further away, you know, because we have also here the mobility, and they use a lot of tolls. They go to restaurants, and they are heavy users also of the information technologies or internet type of purchases.
So then you have these other two groups that were really interesting that they broke out as being distinct, because at least based on stereotypes, they seemed like they might overlap a lot. And that's young and high tech. So what makes those distinct?
Yes, the young didn't have a car, because they use a lot of taxis, also internet purchases and technologies, but mostly taxis. And in their mobility patterns, they would do not travel further away, and they visit a lot the city center. But the core transaction was groceries. Everybody uses groceries, but there's a lot of frequency between taxis, eating outside, and groceries. Those are the young population. Of course, they got their name because they have younger average age, that is lower. And then the high tech is interesting, because they did not go so much to restaurants. And they have, yes, it's like also lower in average age, but they seem to be much more plug in into the computer, because they have the core transaction was related to information and internet purchases with groceries and also mobile phone type of spending.
I love all the groceries here. Okay, so that gets to the last group, which has got to be my favorite just based on the name, because if this is trying to encompass a whole lifestyle, this group is just called dinner out. I mean, is all they're doing going out to dinner?
Yes, this seems to be the more quotation social butterfly, because one aspect is when you have the phone data, you also have the social network towards how many people they call. And your favorite group have what we call, what we measure is higher mobility diversity, meaning they visit different set of places. They spend a little bit more. The ones that spend the most is the commuters. But this group, the social group, have a lot of mobility diversity and a little bit higher average in the social diversity, meaning they have more variety in the contacts.
Were there surprises in this data? I mean, I hate to say it, but a lot of this seems to confirm a lot of stereotypes.
You're one of our referees. Completely agree with you. And I myself, originally my training is statistical physics. When you are measuring humans, there are not so much surprises. That is unfortunate. And we, you know, it was really surprising the ways they use the space, these quotations, segregating a space differently.
So these patterns that you see, whether it's the fact that some older women are, you know, more closely attached to home and mostly going out to buy groceries, or whether it's that you have these younger, very social people who are eating out a lot. I mean, do you see these just as descriptions of how things are, or do you see maybe it's not diagnosing problems, but providing insights that say, you know, a city planner, a city government could use to say, hey, maybe we'd like to target young people for using more public transportation, or, you know, thinking about ways to design the city to work the way that that city's government would like it to work.
Yes, that is correct. That is like by learning from the users, we could adapt our recommendation, because we always can optimize things. And we know that we need to, especially in Mexico City, we need to decrease the amount of individual cars. But by measuring these hotspots in this particular lifestyles group that are in enough amount and a particular behavior, definitely we can adapt to their needs or patterns, you know, behavioral patterns, because this is the law of the large number. It's really millions of mobile phone users. You have hundreds of thousands of groups doing a particular activity, then it works. So basically, one of the interesting research we would like to go as a follow-up is exploring more the type of places, labeling. You know, as we did the labeling based on your purchases and your individual activities, it works a nice research on in a space. How can we use this for one application at the urban planning?
Given the fact that there could be some concern about researchers, despite your training, using people's cell phone and credit card data, do you think that the ends justify the means, that the information that you're getting from this research is worth the potential risk or perceived risk to people's privacy?
Well, that is it's a very delicate question. Again, the idea is, the risk is the same risk is already. So the data is there. So it means the risk is there because we are all leaving off our traces. So the risk on being tracked, we are all leaving as a society. And it's there, and we did not add an extra risk because we did not move the data anywhere else. And that is an important aspect.
So as long as we're at this risk, we might as well gain the benefits by gaining some insight into ourselves.
Exactly my point. That is precisely my goal. And because it's not obvious to convince the companies how useful this data is, because I would like to stress one fact that really motivates me about this work, is that this type of data is collected everywhere. And for planning and decision-making, especially in the global south, that they cannot afford to make a travel survey, you know, a diary. They cannot afford to have this latest traffic simulator and consultants. And part of the costly process is that they need to interview people. And it's really hard to clean the data because you don't have enough information about what people is doing. This is in the breadcrumbs of the use of information technology. We leave digital traces when we buy, we leave digital traces when we use our phones, when we tweet, and many other activities. Then this data is inside the companies. It's really interesting to be able to use it and compare cities worldwide. And that's why I think it works. That's why the companies, especially the ones that are, for example, in this case, we had the support both from the UN and the Gates Foundation. And really, some companies are engaged in using their data for social good. And that is the type of thing we very much like to go to.
That's Marta Gonzalez of UC Berkeley and the Lawrence Berkeley National Laboratory. She joined us via Skype. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Up next, making the most of school recess. Living Lab Radio continues after a short break.